Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
I said, hey, baby, you want a piece of me? You know what she said to me?
Are you ready to rock?
Here we go!
Go! Go!
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
Oh, God. New blazes. Out of radio business. I put up with your shenanigans out front for a week, Mr. Brown.
Green.
All right, Mr. Green, what do you want now? I'm your DJ, man. You call the police.
God damn, y'all got some hospitality issues around this mother.
I've been hoodwinked.
You are out of your mind. You think I'm gonna put this person on the air?
Sir, I know this is unorthodox.
Unorthodox? It's insane.
Sir, hear me out. This man has a unique voice. I just have a feeling.
I have much more than just a feeling.
Sir, we need to put somebody on the air in the next 2 minutes or we go black.
Black, black, black. All right, one show, one shot. I want you on the air with me. You can introduce him. I'll be watching and listening to every word, young man. You watch your language on the air.
Gals on.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It's Brad and the Brad Westmar Show, along with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Magic Matt. Matt, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I am doing very well. And before I forget, a couple of things. Actually, one thing at the top of my mind that I want to ask you, because you ranted and raved about how wonderful it was in your column this past week at noobdoodle.com, spelled N00. Yes, of course. Matt, what on God's green earth is it about you in the movie The Avengers? I mean, you do understand that you're setting me up for a very, very big letdown. You know that, right?
No such thing with this one, Brad. We've talked about this with TV shows I've recommended to you before, but there's no such thing as building up The Avengers too much.
You know, I got to mention one thing about The Avengers that really, really concerns me, and it's always concerned me since they did the first Incredible Hulk movie, you know what I'm talking about. I don't like CGI Hulk. I just do not like him. I have not even seen the Ed Norton version of the movie because I do not like CGI Hulk. Am I really being dumb by not watching it?
Yes.
Really?
Pretty much.
It's fake. It's not real.
Kind of sound like an old man.
Yeah, but it's not the real deal. I mean, so instead of watching the Ed Norton version, I go out and I get the entire TV series on DVD instead, you know?
Because a guy painted green is so much more realistic.
Well, it is.
I do understand the concept of the Hulk, right?
Well,
to begin with?
Well, it's...
Are you one that watches these movies like Star Wars and goes, psh, this is so fake. This could never happen.
All right. You make a good point. Okay. Well, we'll see if I get a chance to watch The Avengers. I've heard mixed things, but if you liked it that much, I'm gonna go with your gut and see it here, hopefully in the near future. So,
I've seen it twice now.
God, that's amazing. I never watch any movie twice.
I haven't been to a movie twice in probably since The Dark Knight.
It's amazing, completely amazing. You know what, Matt? You are way out.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go.
So you're about 5 years younger than I am. Tell me, yeah. I give you two guesses. What television show is that from?
That is from the Partridge Family.
That, my dear friend, is incorrect. I'm going to give you one more guess, and I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It's animated.
That is from Scooby-Doo.
I'm going to give you a third guess and one more hint, because you are once again incorrect.
I'm never going to get this.
By the way, Neil Young was not in CCR.
Since when?
Never. Never. In fact, he was barely in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Okay? I'm serious. He was, but that's a different story. One more guess, okay? And maybe I'm... No, he didn't do Scooby-Doo. Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera, the duo of Hanna-Barbera. I believe. Isn't that right? Yeah, it was Hanna-Barbera, right. The duo. Okay? They did this semi-children, although I believe adults watched it as well, cartoon.
Jetsons.
No, but you're close. The Flintstones. The Flintstones.
A Flintstones song?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a partial credit for that because the Jetsons was close.
It's okay.
In the same ballpark. At least you got a Hanna-Barbera creation. So that's good.
I would have guessed. That was my next guess.
Sure.
It would have been the Flintstones, but I mean, that's the only other one I know.
Sure. That was actually really, is that the only, what else did they do? Oh, you know, you're right.
No one knows.
Yeah, I better. Yeah, I mean, you can look it up later if you'd like to. Maybe during the break, you can look up Hanna-Barbera. Of course, by that time, we'll forget. But anyway, I also want to, well, first of all, that was actually on an episode. That was on an episode where, it was a band. They were called The Way Outs, and they had a song called Way Out, and they just showed them doing 30 seconds of this song a couple of times during the show. And I actually haven't seen the episode in ages, but I remembered the song. I strangely remembered almost every lyric to the song too when I YouTubed it. YouTube, you can find almost anything. I love it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You want to hear some more Hanna-Barbera?
Please. Thank you. Yes.
While we're at it?
Yes, please.
Well, we covered the Flintstones, mm-hmm. Huckleberry Hound.
That's right.
Jetsons, ooh. Johnny Bravo, Johnny, ooh. Quest.
Wait. First of all, my daughter loves Johnny Quest. I don't know why. I got one more for you that you're going to mention. Hey, boo boo.
Yep.
Yogi Bear.
Yogi. Mm-hmm. Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right.
McGilla Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, the Smurfs are on this list.
What about Grape Ape? Grape Ape.
Great babe. He should be. Space Ghost.
Space Ghost. Okay.
So that's kind of the more well-known ones.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. See, that's your job on the show. Nice work.
Thank you.
Now, is that on the same computer that we're connecting you on?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, you must have a super duper internet connection there.
It's a high-powered office here.
Very nice. Very nice. Hey, real quick, I want to give you a chance to talk about you a little bit. We were talking about this, and we decided we better start the show. You had a nice time with your wife this past week, going to see one of your favorite current acts out there. Would you like to tell everybody in 20 seconds about your Daughtry experience in Omaha?
It was awesome. Not only because he sounded great, as we talked about a little bit off the air, which is hard to do with some of those songs. Mm-hmm. We had awesome seats. Second row, probably anywhere from 15 to 30 feet at most away from the band. It was cool.
You had a much better chance of licking his boots than I did Glenn Campbell's.
You know what, too? We caught picks. I caught a pick.
Did you really?
Yeah, we ended up with three of them because we found a couple on the floor, but one hit me right in the chest.
Wow. Nice. When it hit you in the chest, did you have to go to the hospital?
I'm not quite that slight.
I'm not so sure about that.
Not that it didn't knock me back a couple steps, but you know, I held it together.
Good for you. Well, I'm glad you had a good time with that. And speaking of good times, I should let everybody know that hasn't been keeping up with things, the latest on our executive producer, Todd Sheets, who finally, after 3 weeks in the hospital, was released earlier this week, and he is at home currently resting. He has been doing a little bit of radio work on Jackalope, although he has not contacted me about getting back on our show, and I'm not going to push it. I mean, I'm not really complaining. I'm hoping that within the next couple of weeks or so, we'll at least be able to get back in studio, if not maybe do something maybe via the magic of the internet. We'll figure things out, but the good news is he is out. His heart suffered no damage, as what I'm hearing during the heart attack. So he's good to go and resting very well. So, yeah.
Good. That's great news.
I agree, especially for such a young man like him. So looking forward to having him back in the studio. And actually looking forward, and I've been saying this off air, I may as well say it again. Much respect to Todd Sheets. I found respect. And I'll tell you why, folks. I've got this studio set up here at home. And I like my setup, and I've actually put some money into it since Todd got sick, and I will continue to do so for a variety of reasons. But it is a pain in the arse not only to record a show, but basically to produce it and be on it at the same time, and then going ahead and doing post-production afterwards. And the worst part, and this is going to be a good segue into my trip to Rhode Island and Boston, the worst part was last week, we recorded the show on Wednesdays as we usually do, and I had to get it produced and get it uploaded to two different spots last week on Wednesday night after we were done recording the show, and also pack and eat dinner and find some time to get in, get some sleep in too. And so it was a rough Wednesday night, and that was just for one show. If we ever had to record ahead of time, which we do from time to time, and I had to also be out of town on Thursday morning, it just wouldn't work. So it's a lot easier for me to go to Jackalope, have Todd produce the show, let him worry about putting it together and uploading it, and you know, and if it takes a couple extra days to get it uploaded, you know what? I ain't complaining anymore. It's just it's not worth it. You know,
his stress level is going to go down just because of that.
I think so. And damn it, you know, I mentioned it to him. I mentioned it on the show. Let's be honest here. I had already been laying off him. I did not cause his heart attack. Okay, I swear to you, I did not cause it. I had already been laying off on him. I had calmed down. I didn't care as much. I mean, I still give him a lot of crap on the show, but some of that is fake. Some of it's real. It just kind of depends. But when it comes to, you know, getting on his case, you know, the other 6 days of the week, I've laid off, and yeah.
Yeah, your conscience is clean.
Yeah, I hope
thankfully.
So.
Thankfully, if that had happened like 3 weeks earlier, you would have felt really bad.
Yeah, probably. It's true. Probably. so did you have 20 questions prepared again?
Yes, I
okay,
do.
Okay, good, good. As you might recall on last week's show, I mentioned that I was traveling to the East Coast for my boss's son's wedding in Rhode Island, and was also going to take a trip to Boston to Fenway Park. And I did just that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I did tweet quite a bit about it, especially during the reception and the wedding. I tweeted some pictures. I know that I also sent some text messages to Matt. We had a few exchanges. Matt, we're going to start this whole thing off. We're going to go ahead and play 20 questions again. 20 questions for Brad about what my trip to Rhode Island, Boston.
About the fancy wedding in the Northeast.
There we go. I am ready. Hit me.
Number one, did you steal anything?
Let me ask the definition of stealing. Does it have to be from a store to count as being stolen?
No. Hotel rooms count. Wedding receptions say, count. Things you weren't supposed to take.
Say no more. Then the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes. What'd you steal?
I can't tell you. It's in your box.
Oh, I was wondering if it might lead to that. All right.
Yeah. Do you want to fast forward? Or do you want to wait and talk about that in a little bit?
Or do you want to do it now?
Well, let's, you know, no, we'll hold off. Go ahead. Keep back. Going. All yeah. Right, okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Number two, was there any family sporting event or contest during the weekend that you had to partake in? For example, a touch football game where the groom had to embarrass someone to make himself look better.
No, there was not. In fact, no, it was not quite like that, believe it or not. So
boring.
The simple answer is no. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, did the groom and his buddies constantly high-five each other while calling one another bro?
I did not witness that. Although I did witness some laid-backness during the wedding ceremony, no, they didn't. Although I've seen that before with all the wedding dances I've done before. Did you ever do any DJing wedding dances with me back in the day?
No, I missed that.
Oh my God. Oh, if we would have done that together, you'd have oodles of stories.
Oh man. Yeah. Endless supply.
Yeah. And the sad part is I was so drunk at all of them when I did them that I don't remember any of them.
See, that's the problem. If I wasn't around, you don't remember half the stuff.
It's terrible. It's terrible, as Charles Barkley would say. It's horrible. So go right ahead. Next question.
All right. Now, this We're going to do this segment from time to time, and I may not write a better question than this one ever.
Oh, good.
Number four, how would you rank the best man's speech on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being a pleasant and comfortable speech, and 10 being your brother Brian's speech from your wedding reception.
Oh, yeah. Okay, first of all, I've got to preface this. And I asked about this because the only speech that I got to witness was the father of the bride at the reception dinner. There was no other speech given. Okay?
Really?
So before we get back to my brother and his speech, which, by the way, I just need to pull that audio off the videotape.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This class, it is classic.
I really do. We'll get back to that in a second. But, yeah. So I would rate the father of the bride speech to be number. It was a good speech. What was the number one you said? Or 10? Or what did you say?
One was good, pleasant speech.
Yeah. It was good and pleasant. It was fine. So I unfortunately cannot compare it to my brother's. Do you have a good imitation of my ex-wife? But do you have a good imitation of my brother doing his best man speech at my second wedding?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can remember the specifics of it. I just remember sinking lower and lower in my chair, I think along with everyone else going, please God, let this end.
Yeah. Needless to say, my brother has appeared on this show. Actually, he appeared on the old show a couple of times, and he was a nightmare, especially the first time. But he's just not a public speaker, to say the least. So, yeah, we got to pull that audio sometime, definitely.
Oh, the awkward pauses.
Yeah.
He had props that he didn't have ready.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. My father, on the other hand, did the old key thing. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember that.
My father's wasn't a great public speaker either, but he had it written down and he did read it off the paper. Unfortunately, he's not the best he's not the best reader in the world when he reads out loud. And unfortunately, his handwriting was kind of sloppy. So I think it was kind of hard for him to read his own handwriting, but he got it out at least. And he, you know, for the lack of a better way of saying it, he kicked my brother's ass when it came to speech, you know, and he did that whole, it's a ritual thing that a lot of people do at weddings with the whole, will you please bring back keys? I don't quite understand it all. I don't remember it now, but
yeah, you know. I do remember him doing it though.
Yeah. Yeah. And was he not better than my brother was?
Oh,
eons.
Light years.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we better move on.
All right. Number five, did you witness anyone berating the help?
No. In fact, to be honest with you, the closest I saw was probably from myself.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a few times when we sat down for the dinner that, you know, you might recall I mentioned to you in one of my text messages, Matt, that I believe I'm the only person here out of almost 200 people that's drinking beer. And, I mean, at least I was drinking a local beer. But I first of all, I ran out when we had the pre-dinner drinks on the golf course green. And great pictures I've got, by the way. I mean, it's stereotypical. It's like right out of a movie. It's like I was at the Winklevoss's wedding. You know, it's like the guys who say they discovered Facebook. You know, the snotty guys with the sweaters over their backs, which, by the way, saw plenty of those. I was kind of getting a little bit aggravated, wanted to get a beer, and just kind of took a while. But nobody got on the help's butt at all, believe it or not. So,
well, that leads me to number six.
Okay.
Did anyone mistake you for the help?
No. But it could have. If I wasn't dressed to the nines the way I was, you know, it could have happened. But no, they did not. Thank God. No.
Okay. Number seven. Did you hear anyone refer to their significant other as Lovey?
Lovey. Yeah. A couple of times, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, number eight. Did you wake up with a face tattoo or missing tooth?
No, thank God. In fact, to be quite honest, the only time I threw a bit of a buzz was there at the reception before we sat down to eat dinner. And I actually kept myself under good control. So no, unfortunately, fortunately, I did not lose any teeth or get drawn on. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number nine, were you physically assaulted by a naked Asian man at any point during your trip?
Wait a minute. Where does that come from?
That's from The Hangover.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He jumps out of the trunk and just beats the crap out of him.
That's right. And it's funny you say that, because while I did not have that happen to me, when I get to tell the story here in a little bit, okay, there some Asians do come into play. And ooh, yeah, I'm not going to hit the sounder just yet, though. So I'll hold off on that.
Okay, number 10. Did you meet Mike Tyson?
Wait a minute. You're going to have to tell me about that one, too.
Another hangover.
See, here we go again. I only watch movies once.
Movies?
I only watch movies one time. So I forget everything the minute I walk out of the theater or the minute I turn off the DVD player. So I don't remember any of it. I saw it. I thought it was a good, decent movie. I liked it, you know, but I don't remember any of it. Except, if I'm not mistaken, there was one word that came out of that movie that I use all the time. And it was just, I don't remember what it is now, but it's a repronunciation of a word. What is it? I don't remember now.
Just say it.
Please.
Retard.
There we go. Thank you. Yes, retard. Yes. I use that all the time. And apparently it came from that movie. So that's apparently the only thing I got out of that movie was retard. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least you saw it.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did.
Starting to get a little worried.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Number 11. Were you the most famous person there?
Yeah. Abso-freaking-lutely. Yes. Yes. And probably the most attractive one, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Number 12. We talked about the older female coworker you were sharing the condo with.
Yeah.
During your stay.
Mm-hmm.
Was her name Mrs. Robinson by chance?
No. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Just in case. You know, I do not cross my work life with my, you know,
right,
my life on the show. In fact, there are very, very few people that I work with that know about this show. So just on the outside chance this ever gets heard by the wrong person, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Number 13. Mm-hmm. Did Mrs. Robinson ever ask you if you wanted to stay up all night and watch season one of Cougar Town?
No. Her name was not Mrs. Robinson.
No.
Okay. No. Nice try, though.
Number 14. At any point during your visit to the subway, did you think you were going to get mugged?
Absolutely. Every single second that I was on the subway, I was afraid I was going to get mugged. And I do. Did I text you a picture? I did. Didn't I? The subway?
You did. And I wrote you a text back. And it was awesome reference to our show, Person of Interest.
And I never got that text, did I?
No. I was looking at my text the next day and I was like, oh, it never sent.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't. But you were thinking along the same lines that I was, which is, it just looks exactly like you would expect a subway to look. And I've never been on one, never seen one before. And they are amazing, for sure.
Sweet.
They really, really are. And also, you think about the time that goes into it. You know, think about the time and thought and money and effort that goes into creating a subway. It's unbelievable when you see it. You're like, really? I mean, they put this thing down here, and they put these tracks in here, and these cars, and these walls, and then you think about what it would be like to actually get pushed in front of one of these subway trains that are going by when you see that happen all the time on the movies, and it kind of freaks you out a little bit. So, I was a little bit worried. We did actually ride the subway to Fenway at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, so it was a little bit tight. We had to stand up the entire way. The car was behind the one that we were in. The train we were in was behind schedule. It was hot as balls. It was not a complete nightmare. It was just uncomfortable. Is all I can really say about it. But
okay,
it was cool though.
That's cool. It's cool to do it once.
Yeah, and that's probably the last time I ever want to do it again. Yeah.
You can do it for me, too, because I don't care if I ever do it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, number 15. How's your Boston accent? And could you give me a couple of examples?
I can definitely give you a couple of examples. This is a good question to ask. This might actually be the best question, because I found myself speaking that way by the end of my trip out there. There was actually a few T-shirts and stuff that had a few sayings that you should practice. And the one that is most common is that we park the car at Harvard Yard. So I've been saying that quite a bit. We park the car at Harvard Yard. And that's the only one I can really whip out without thinking too hard. The other thing, though, that was kind of funny was towards the end of the reception, there were some cigars floating around, and I haven't had a cigar in a long time, and I kind of thought, well, I need to stop drinking right now. It's like 9:30. I don't want to drink anymore. But if I'm going to stay and watch this crap a little while longer, I'd like to have a cigar. So I went up to my boss and I said, where's the cigars? It looks like everybody else here has a cigar. Because it took me a while to figure out that it wasn't just the wedding party and the family that had cigars. It was like everybody had a cigar. Like all the guys had a cigar and a few of the women had a cigar, which was not necessary, by the way. So he said, go over there and find them. Well, by the time I figured out where the cigars were supposed to be, they were gone. But so I didn't get a cigar. But when I went over and asked one of the bartenders where the cigars were at, I didn't ask where the cigars were at. I asked where the cigars were at. So,
nice.
Yeah, it just kind of came out, you know, because I wanted to feel like I fit in. So I kept dropping my R's down to A's, and it was just by accident. So we parked the car at Harvard Yard. So Harvard Yard. Yeah.
That happens. It comes and goes. I've heard people that have a Southern accent that comes and goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It happens. In fact, I know this gal that I married once that was that way.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right there.
For example. Was that sound on your end or my end, or did you, or was that my drink?
Yeah, you got you got a drink there?
Yeah. It's not it's not booze, Matt. Come on.
It sounds like I'm talking to the Rat Pack.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not.
All right.
Move along, my friend.
Number 16.
Yes.
Did you preface any phrases with the word wicked while you were out there?
Wait a minute. There's got to be an inside joke to that one, too.
It's another Boston thing.
Wicked?
Wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome. No. No, I did not. No. But another name that I like to say with the Boston accent is Noma Garcia Para. So.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
Number 17.
Uh-oh.
Seriously, how cool was Fenway Park?
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, I could talk about it all day long. It was very, very cool to be there once. Would I go back again? Yeah. Would I make a special trip just to go back there again? Maybe not. But it was very, very cool. Now, you've been to Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
And my understanding is that Wrigley Field is a dump compared to Fenway Park.
Wrigley Field is a dump.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And Fenway, I was actually impressed. I mean, it really, we sat in right field, it was very, very cool to be there one time. And I took a handful of pictures. The biggest problem with the game was that they threw 90-some-odd pitches in the first two innings, the pitchers did together. It was a long game. And to make a long story short, I know you're going to be disappointed in me, but to make a long story short, we did leave a little early.
I've had no problem with that.
Yeah, we had a two-hour drive back. So, and it was already like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and we didn't get back till midnight. So it was a long day as it was, but it was just cool to be there and check it out. And Green Monster, not quite as overwhelming in person as it is on TV, but still very cool to see. So
that's cool.
And actually, something else that I know Jared would know this, and I know a lot of other people that have been there obviously would know this, but you might not know this. When you actually, depending about what way you go in, and I think there is only actually one way into the ballpark, you actually enter on the street. There's a street that's closed off. It has the kind of the little ticket entering things there, and you enter there actually out on a street. Then you're actually in the ballpark grounds, but it's actually on a bit of a street that has some kiosks in the middle of the street and some open shops across the street, and then you can just walk right into the ballpark. It's kind of an open area. So it was different, and it was cool. It really was. So
that's cool. It would be a very cool trip.
Someday you'll get there
to do just once.
Put it on your bucket list.
I'll do that.
There you go.
Number 18. Did you wear any Royals gear to the game to make the statement, hey, I'm just here as a baseball fan and neutral observer?
I
in no way endorse either one of these teams.
I think a little bit of an Eastern accent there. Endorse.
Yeah.
You know, the Royals had just beaten the crap out of the Red Sox 3 out of 4 games. And it was the Royals beating the Red Sox that got the Red Sox on a bit of a winning streak themselves. In fact, I believe it was the second game of the Red Sox current winning streak that we saw. So, no, I didn't. But I should have done that, especially after the Royals, you know, beat up the Red Sox pretty good. But no.
I was making fun of those people when we went to the Royals-Yankees game couple weeks back.
Were you?
People that show up in like all Cardinals gear or all Diamondbacks gear or something mm-hmm. off the wall.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Like don't want to run into somebody that you know that might think you're switching teams or something.
Well, and it's funny, too. We got to remember this. I do have a Subway story. In fact, I should probably just tell that right now real quick because it kind of goes in line with what you just said. And, you know, I haven't told you too much about the person I was traveling with, but this might give you a bit of an idea. She's been on Subways before, and we were getting instructions from a couple of our business people that we spent the day with on how to take. You take the green line, and then you jump on the blue line, take the blue line, take off of there, and you get off of that street, and then you go back on the orange line, and then you go. And I'm like, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm trusting you. You're going to get us there, I told her. And you know, you're the one who's rode Subways. And of course, she's not the kind of person to ever feel like, I mean, this is the kind of person that doesn't show any weakness. They're not going to show like they're not sure or they're a little confused or a little concerned. They're just going to go, oh, yeah, no, I got every bit of confidence in the world in myself. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, you've never let me down before, wink, wink, but let's go ahead and we'll do this. So we start walking down the Subway, and right before we walk down the Subway, we see a couple, a man and a woman, young man and woman, wearing Red Sox gear, going down the escalator to the Subway. And she goes, oh, I'll bet they're going to the game. Let's follow them. And I'm behind her with my hands in the air going, just because they're wearing Red Sox gear in Boston, you think they're going to the game? Well, as you can think, that was a sign of things to come. So we get down to the Subway. We get on the first train. And it just so happens that this couple is right next to us on the Subway as well. So, of course, at this point, the gal that's with me thinks that she's doing the right thing by following these two people because we're on the same train. We're going to Fenway. They must be going to Fenway. Never mind the fact that there's 4,000 other stops on this Subway and three or four other different lines to take once we get off this train. Well, sure enough, this couple gets off the train when we get off the train. So then she follows them over to another train across the way. And when we follow them over there, we're kind of standing there for a while, and she starts to kind of second guess herself. And then she decides to look over at them, and she says, we're following you guys. You're going to the game, right? Oh, I'm just embarrassed. I'm standing right next to her, just embarrassed as all get out, going, oh, my God, this is like my dad all over again. It's like, no, don't. This no, no. And sure enough, he looked at him, looked at her kind of cockeyed, and he goes, no, we're not going to the game. And then she starts to not only, okay, and here's the thing, Matt. This is where it gets really dumb, okay? This is the part that my dad would not have done, okay? She goes, oh, we thought because you, okay, first of all, it's not we, okay?
Yeah, right.
It's not we. I mean, by this time, I'm walking away from her. You know, and she starts to tell them that we thought they were going to the game because they had Red Sox gear on. Now, the best part was how she kind of trailed off when she started to say that, because when she started to say that, I believe in her brain, which, by the way, at 58, it moves a lot slower than mine. Okay. Her brain started to catch up with her mouth, and she remembered me 25 minutes ago saying, just because they're wearing Red Sox gear, you think they're going to the Red Sox game? And she realized how stupid it was going to sound when she said it out loud to them. And she trailed off, didn't finish her sentence, turned around, and went back to the map to try to figure out where we needed to go. I was like, oh, my God. Oh.
You just wanted to, like, teleport out of there?
Oh, I did. It was probably... I think it was the most embarrassing moment of the entire trip, which isn't that bad, but in a big city like Boston, that's a pretty dumb thing to assume, you know?
Yeah.
But even in Kansas City, you wouldn't assume just because somebody has royal stuff on, they're going to the game.
No.
So anyway, that was my story about wearing gear. So yeah, you got
a good one. I like that one.
I thought you'd like that one. Yeah, a couple. And by the way, meant no insult to my father. My father, God love him, and God rest his soul. But I mean, he would sometimes say and do silly things. But at least my father was cute about it. You know, it's like you couldn't help but love him because he did it so innocently. But you know, the gal that I'm with, you know, she should have known better. But it's just sometimes she. I think when you get to a certain age, you start to like. You start to age faster. It's like, you know, at 58, she starts to act 68 because she just not thinking, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody has a story like that they can relate to that, you know, going back to their own parents where you just want to like hide inside of your own clothing for what's going on around you.
My mom always wanted to send back her hamburger or her steak because it wasn't charbroiled the way she ordered it. You know, it's like, Mom, don't cause a scene. Don't, you know. So.
yep, exactly.
Yeah, so.
All right, a couple questions left. Two more. Number 19. Now this, you may not have done this depending on when you left the game. You said you left early, but you didn't say how early. Did you sing along with Sweet Caroline during the eighth inning?
I really didn't stay that long.
Oh, what inning did you leave?
Let's not talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want you to be disappointed in me.
You are an old man.
What you have to understand, look, let me explain something to you. And this is a good time to explain this part about the trip, folks. Okay. I am not by myself. I am not with Matt, but I will tell you right now, Magic Matt, when I was sitting there scrunched up at the game, because I mean, they don't make the seats that wide. The seats are, you know, kind of old fashioned and narrow. And thankfully, my butt is not that big anymore. But it was uncomfortable. But I kept thinking to myself, I wish Matt was here sharing this with me instead of who's with me, because Matt wouldn't be a party pooper. I would have a few beers in me. And I want to stay for most of the game and enjoy the experience. The problem is that you have to adjust to the company you keep. And unfortunately, I was on pins and needles the entire trip. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you right now. And again, I say this at the risk of it ever being heard by the wrong person. But I got to tell you right now, it was not a relaxing trip for me. Okay. And the reason it was not a relaxing trip was because of the company that I was with. Okay. This is somebody who hired me, that put me in the spot that I am, at
you
least.
You better be careful.
You know, no, I'm just, but look, here's the thing. It's nothing against her. It's just that she's kind of a mother hen. Okay. And so you have to be careful. Let me give you a prime example of how I walked on feather eggshells the entire time. Okay. Every time I used the bathroom, I made sure I left it as spotless as it was when I was in there. That includes the toilet. That includes double flushing if necessary. Okay. That includes whiskers in the sink. Okay. I mean, it just, that also includes leaving the toilet seat down. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's just the bathroom we're talking about, Matt. So I was pretty much at her mercy. Okay. I really couldn't say, come on, I want to get drunk at $8.50 a beer. You know, I just, I couldn't do it because I had to know my place. And I went into this knowing that I was going to, but I really went more than anything to show my support and also to go see Fenway Park. So you kind of see where I was at. You know,
I am uncomfortable for you.
You are. You understand that.
Completely. Completely. You just couldn't just never let your guard down. I have a very good understanding of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what it was. I could not let my guard down at all for 4 days. I could not really be myself. You
kind of like you're hanging out with like one of your friend's parents or something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
a whole weekend, just you and them.
Yeah. Something like that. Exactly. Because I mean, I could honestly let my hair down even more with my mother than I did this past weekend. I could. You know, so tough situation. So unfortunately, I did not get to sing Sweet Caroline or hear it, but I could do it right now, note for note, if you wanted me to, but we're not going to do it.
So. That's all right. We won't worry about it.
Okay.
I got no problem leaving games early, by the way.
Well,
but to a certain extent.
I know, but
I'm all for beating traffic.
But dude, if we'd have been there till 8 o'clock or till the eighth inning, we wouldn't have gotten home till 2 or 3 in the morning. I mean, it was a long game and a 2-hour drive back. So it was tough.
I understand. I'm going to let it go this time.
Thank you.
All right. And finally, number 20, Mark Wahlberg is from the area.
Mm-hmm.
Did they play any Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch during the game?
No, they did not. But they did play, if I do recall correctly, I for some reason heard way too much Aerosmith. Not just at the ballpark, but on the radio too.
Really?
And of course Aerosmith's from out there too.
Yeah.
But no, I did not hear Good Vibrations or anything like that. Which,
bummer.
Yeah. In fact, I think that's the only song he had other than he has redo of Wild Side.
Good Vibrations is the only one I can think of.
Yeah, it's the only one that counts. So, cool. Well, look, let me fill in some holes, but let's take a break, if you don't mind. We'll come back. We'll take a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you, fill in some holes and tell you a little bit more about some of the things. And also, we're going to tell people about your souvenir box.
Finally.
All right, let's take the break and we will be right back.
The Brad Westmore Show will be right back. stupid stereo. Steve, what's that new award on your desk?
That's my award for being the Midwest's largest bicycle dealer.
But stupid stereo Steve, you don't even sell bicycles.
That's right, but I give them away when people buy my stereos.
That's swell, stupid stereo Steve, but what can you do now to top that?
I want
to
be the Midwest's biggest donkey dealer.
But stupid stereo Steve, you're not going to start selling donkeys, are you?
You bet we're not. But I bought out a major Chicago stockyard supply of donkeys, and now I'm going to start giving them away with every stereo.
Stupid stereo Steve, you mean?
Yep, a pair of 12-foot Spectra Boomix speakers, just $288 with a donkey.
And?
Boss headphones, just $12 with a baby donkey.
And?
How about this great system? A Kamikaze 3.2-watt receiver and a Fulasaki implied drive turntable, a set of Zeno Infinity AAA S-Series Model 203 speakers in pink plexiglass cabinet. They're just $744 with an entire family of donkeys.
The donkeys alone would normally cost much, much more at Stupid Stereo Steve's Stupid Stereo Store on the South Beltline between the center and extreme left lanes.
Hey, man, I bought the stereo. I don't want the donkey.
Hey, you bought the stereo. It comes with a donkey. Now take your stereo and get your ass out of here.
This is Jan Terry, and you're listening to the Brad Westmar Show.
Welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad and Magic Matt. Magic Mac, say hi.
Hello.
I called you Magic Mac. Magic Mac, say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
I answered anything.
Yeah, I know you will. Hey, a few things. I wanted to fill in some holes from my trip, and I'm going to try to keep this short to a point, but the very first happening that went on was the first night. It was Thursday night. It was time for a clam bake, and I believe we talked about that on the show last time. The only clam bake we've ever heard of was the movie from Elvis.
Right.
Right. And I'd never been to a clam bake before. And I assumed it was on the beach. It kind of made sense that it would be close to the water, being that's kind of the image that you have in your head. And I'm going to try to make this story very short because it was a 2-hour story. But we got there on Thursday afternoon. We got to our condo. We were sharing a condo. By the way, sharing a small bathroom, as you figured out here from the last segment. But we did have separate bedrooms, clearly. So the clam bake started at 6. We decided we would take off about 6:15, 6:20 to go find it. We didn't want to be fashionably early. So about 6:15, 6:20, we take off. And we've used Google. Now, you know, Google is a good place. I've always said to people, Google is your friend. It's a great place to find just about anything you need. Correct, Matt?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So I was using Google on the iPad and my iPhone, and I Googled the place that it was supposed to be at, which was called Misquamicut Beach Club, okay? And nothing came up, okay? So what did come up was another beach club, which was called like Seaside or Seashore or Southside or something like that. I think it was called Seaside Beach Club. So we drove there. It was about 15, 20 minutes away. We get there and we're like, this doesn't look right. There's a trailer park next to it.
That's definitely not it.
Doesn't seem like it. Nobody looks like they're here. This doesn't look right. So we flagged down a lady walking and asked her, do you know where Misquamicut Beach Club is at? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, I've never heard of it before. She said, now, Misquamicut Beach is right down that road. And she pointed down the direction past the place we thought might be the beach club until we got there. She goes, but you know, I'll bet it's the golf club. There's Misquamicut Golf Club. It's down this way. So I Googled that. We said, you know what? That would make sense. It's got to be at the country club, the golf club course. I mean, that makes sense. That's the type of people we're talking about here, you know? So we go down there. Looks pretty deserted. Nobody there. I walk inside, not a soul in sight. I yell a couple times. Nobody's there. Come back out. At this point, we decide it's probably time to call my boss. Now, my boss has his phone glued to his ear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, guess what? I called him multiple times, and he did not pick up one time. Now,
of course,
I don't know if it's because it was me. I don't really know why he didn't pick up, but he did not pick up. So to make a long story even longer, we kept going back and forth between these two spots, trying to figure out if we'd missed something on Misquamicut Beach. It's deserted at the beach. That place that had the trailer park is deserted. We went back to the country club again. There's nobody there. We're like, what in the world is going on? Back and forth. We even stopped and asked somebody else who wasn't from there, but he said, well, I know where Musquamicut Beach is at. Just go down there. It's like, no, you don't understand. It's not there on Musquamicut Beach. We've already looked. There's no beach club there. He's like, well, I'm sorry. I don't know where else it would be. We're like, what is going on here? Now, I actually had the invitation with me. And the invitation, just to kind of clarify all this for you, okay, all it said was Musquamicut Beach Club, transportation provided, which we never really knew for sure what that meant either because we didn't really know where the transportation was being provided from, okay? But all it said was Musquamicut Beach Club. It didn't have an address. It didn't have a map. It didn't have any kind of information at all. And we just kept Googling it, going, where could this place be? Finally, 2 hours later, almost 2 hours of looking, at least an hour and a half for sure, we gave up. We said, you know what? We're going to go into this town. We're going to eat dinner. We're screwed. We're disappointed. We felt stupid. We felt like we obviously are the guinea pigs here, or we're the hams here. We're stupid. We've missed something somewhere. We should have checked this out. We're going to go have dinner at this restaurant. So we park the car. We go inside. We sit down. We start to salivate at the food because we're starving at that point. And I've lost valuable beer time, by the way, at that point too. Okay. So we sit down. We tell the server. She could tell something was going on. So we told her what happened. And she immediately goes, I know exactly where that's at. And we're like, yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. Yeah, that's what everybody says. She goes, no, it's right. And she told us where it was at. It was right outside the back door of our condo.
You're kidding.
Kid you not. When she told us that, our hearts sunk. We went, you've got to be kidding me. The gal said, you know what? You need to go. Don't worry about us. Appreciate you coming in. Go to your clam bake. Go. Hopefully they'll still have food. Hopefully it's still going on.
Oh,
so we
God.
Got back in the car, drove 20 minutes back. It's a long, by the way, these are long, slow, windy drives along the ocean shore. So it's not like we're talking about quick 10-minute drives, okay? So we've already spent 2 hours in the car pissing around trying to find this place. We're going back another 20 minutes back to our condo. Sure enough, that's where it was at, right down the old block. We could have walked there if we'd wanted to. So
no.
Well, I know. It was painful. Now, I sent you a picture of my lobster.
Yes.
I also sent you a picture of the groom's pink pants.
You know, in my phone, they look the exact same color as the lobster.
Yeah, they did. And they're not actually pink. I believe they're salmon. And apparently it's an East Coast thing to wear kind of weird colors like that because there were a lot of people that were wearing salmon-colored pants and dresses and things like that as well. But that's kind of a side note. But so we get there, Matt. We get there and we're like, oh, thank God there's still a lot of people here. Oh my God, look, there's people lined up for food. We immediately see my boss. We go over to him. He says, hey, you're just in time. They just started serving the food. We said, we couldn't find the place. He goes, apparently nobody could.
Oh, thank God.
So yes, to make a long story short, everybody was lost. Everybody was driving around the same areas looking for. It was just it's funny. We were so wrapped up in ourselves and so pissed off and so embarrassed that we didn't notice other people looking around trying to find a place. So
these poor people that were getting asked where this place was probably got asked over and over and over again.
They probably did. They probably did. So the good news is that we did get to our fill of food and lobster and steak and just a bunch of great food. It was actually the best meal of the entire weekend and had a few local drinks and things like that too. And it was nice. So we were glad we didn't get left out of that after all that. But man, that was just a sucky 2 hours, man.
Wow.
Tough.
Gosh, you knew you were going to walk in your own head and everybody be like finished eating.
Yeah.
And you'd walk in, like all of a sudden the music stops and you can hear silverware hitting the plates and everybody turns to stare at you.
Yeah.
Walking in 2 hours late.
that's kind of what we thought was going to happen, but it didn't. So thank God on that. So now to talk a little bit more about the tough part of traveling with somebody who's old enough to be your younger mother. And it didn't really occur to me. I mean, we joked about it on the show a couple of times, but it didn't really occur to me how we appeared together when we were together until until we did our dress-up thing for the wedding on Saturday. I put on my my light-colored sport coat and a tie and shirt and pants and nice new shoes, and we complimented each other on how we looked, and we decided we were going to walk to the wedding because it was just a couple of blocks away from the condo, and we did, by the way, check out where everything was at beforehand so we knew where we were going for sure, you know? Yeah. So we walked out of our condo. We walked out onto the main street, which is just kind of a, it's like Bourbon Street, only not as busy. It's just a very, you know, quiet little area there. And people just kind of wander and walk. And we met this guy right there, just probably a tourist or maybe a local who saw us as we were walking out, all dressed to the nines, of course. And he says, as we walk out and across the street, he goes, "Wow." He says, "Best looking couple in Watch Hill." And I'm like,
Oh, no.
I mean, I tell you, my heart sunk because at that point, I hadn't really thought about it so much.
Yeah.
Until he said that, and I'm like, oh, really? I mean, I know I don't.
What do you say? I mean, what do you say at that point? You don't want to offend her.
I don't think either one of us said anything. And at that particular moment, we didn't really respond. We just kind of chuckled. I think she chuckled. I smiled. Nobody said, she may have even said thanks, you know, but I said nothing. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, no, I wasn't. But what I did say to her when we got out of earshot distance was, so I guess I hadn't really thought about this. Apparently we're a couple this weekend. And she goes, yeah, it's probably been looking that way the entire weekend. And I said, okay. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
You know, because the first thing that I think of, well, there's two things that I think of. First of all, it's like, okay, not my type. Okay. Second of all, not my age. However, I mean, there was a time when people actually used to guess that I've always looked older than I am. And I'm like thinking, how old do I look to you? Okay. But at the same time, you know, here's the thing. I'll give her credit. She doesn't look her age either. I mean, we're not talking about gray hair. She keeps it, you know, she keeps it colored. Okay.
Whatever makes you feel better.
You know, and I probably have more gray. I don't know. I really don't know, but it was just not right. It was wrong. Okay. It was wrong. So it hurt a little bit, you know. So then moving right along. This is the most embarrassing part, and I considered not telling this part of the story, but to me, this is real. This is me. This really happened, and I want everybody to know that I'm not cocky and I'm not embarrassed to tell you this particular little ditty. So, before we left for the wedding, I did one last final pee-pee. I went number one, and because I had drank, I believe it was one beer before we left for the wedding. Okay, I had one bottle of beer, and by the way, I just realized another thing that I had to kind of subdue myself from doing just to please her because I knew it would cause a problem. But
if we have
time, we'll tell it here at the end of the show. But so little did I realize that, you know, so I went to the bathroom after I was already, you know, all dressed up. I went to the bathroom one last time. And I bring this up for a reason because we went to the wedding. We walked to the wedding. We met my boss and shook his hand and talked to him for a little bit. And we sat down for the wedding. The wedding happened. It was the shortest wedding ceremony of all time. I think it was 12 minutes long. It was fantastic.
Perfect.
It was perfect. It was right up my alley. And I thanked the groom at the reception for succumbing to my needs and making it the shortest ceremony on the face of the earth because it was fantastic. And I think they realized people were there. They traveled a long distance. They wanted to party and have a good time and not sit there and be bored. So that was great. We got done. We waited for our turn for our aisle to exit the church. And as I was about to the door of the church, I looked down and my fly was open.
Oh, no.
My fly had been open for the last 35 minutes to 40 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, the good news is I was wearing a sport coat. It was not buttoned, but I think that it probably covered it up. Of course, the pants were black. The zipper was black. So I'm hoping that
you're
nobody,
probably all right.
I'm probably all right. But at that moment, I knew exactly when it had happened. It had happened on that last trip to the bathroom. And
Oh, only you.
Only me?
Honestly, you're the only one I know that would do that.
That's why
your stories are so good.
I'm not terribly smart. I know I'm not.
No, that's not an intelligence thing, but that's just a it only happens to Brad thing.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I've come up with a new name for me. I'm going to pat myself on the back and call myself. You know, I never knew what a raconteur was. Okay, I never knew what that word meant, and Jack White had a band with Brendan Benson, and that I think are still kind of semi together called the Raconteurs, and have you heard of them before?
Have not.
Okay, and they're just a good old rock alternative band, and I never knew what a raconteur was. I looked it up this past weekend and realized that it basically is a good storyteller. So if I can dub myself a raconteur, I'm going to. Do you agree with that? Is that okay? Am I patting myself on the back too hard?
I have dubbed you a good storyteller for a long time, so no.
Thank you.
I've got no problem with that.
You're a good friend, and I wish you would have been with me at Fenway. So,
I wish I'd have been there, too.
I know.
It sounds like so much fun.
It was. Maybe someday we can do it. We'll see. Now,
maybe that's on my bucket list now, too. You and me, fancy wedding in the Northeast. Not together. You know what I mean? I said that totally wrong.
No, I know what you mean, though, thank God. Yes. No, I'm with you. Hey, we're running out of time, but a couple more things we got to get to here first real quick. The most important thing of the night was at the reception. We spent some time just kind of chilling. We didn't know a lot of people. So here we are having some drinks and having a nice time. I'm starting to get a little bit buzzed, which was nice. And I'm running the bar out of beer because I'm the only one drinking beer. And at one point, we looked at the centerpieces. They had those stand-up tables where you would stand up and set your hors d'oeuvre plate there or whatever. And they had these green balls of it looked like dandelions or daisies, but it was like a whole bunch of flowers together in a big ball. And now the wedding colors were green and I don't remember, navy blue or something, like it was like this very limey green, so it kind of went with the colors. And then under it, it also had what I later noticed that looked like crystal meth. I mean, before you melt it up and shoot it in your arm or whatever, And of course, you can tell that I've been watching way too much of my favorite show, Breaking Bad.
Hello, it's your drug dealer.
But my travel partner and I both looked at it and I said out loud, I wonder if we can smoke this. And I tweeted a picture of it. I texted you a picture of it. I texted a few other people a picture of it. And then we had another guy come up to us who was kind of looking at it too. And we asked him the same thing. And he said that, yeah, you can, but you need to dry it first. And so he was an expert. In fact, I said, hey, you want a job?
Give an application.
Yeah.
It's your.
But anyway, so. Long story short, that was the talk, the talk of us for a few minutes there, and also via text message with you and everything else. And so we had a lot of fun with that. And then one more thing, too, that I forgot about the reception. One more thing I forgot. I think I tweeted this, too. I am not a fan of receiving lines. Okay?
No.
I'm just not. I mean, it was the worst part of my wedding. Okay, because for obvious reasons, first of all, I didn't know a lot of people. I mean, you don't know a lot of people on the other side. Sometimes you don't know the people on your side, okay? But even worse than actually being at your own wedding, I don't like going through the receiving line as a wedding goer. Because the worst part for me, more than anything, is not knowing how to greet them. Do I need to kiss the bride? I'm not a hug. I mean, I don't mean to sound like Jared, because Jared has a little bit of a hang up when it comes to hugging, as we discovered on the show. Okay. I don't mind hugging the right person. Okay. But I am uncomfortable hugging most people. And the reason that I'm uncomfortable with it is because I'm not going to make that first move for fear that it's going to freak you out or make you feel weird. So you're going to have to make the move on me. And if you're going to make the move on me, I'm probably not going to notice it because I'm too busy trying to avoid doing it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I got through the receiving line okay, but it was the most uncomfortable moment of the entire weekend, aside from finding my zipper down. But
zipper's better.
You think so?
I'd rather walk around with my fly down for a half hour than go through that line.
So you agree?
It's, Oh, I hate that. It's one of the most uncomfortable situations you could be in. As a matter of fact, I hate that the part at church where you have to greet everybody. They stop and the little meet and greet, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's my sole purpose to be late for church just so I miss that.
That is a very good point.
It's so awkward.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I completely hate that as well. Completely hate that. I don't miss that at all about going to church. I just do not. You're right. I forgot about those. So we're on the same boat. And it's funny that we feel the same way about that because, I mean, apparently if you and I feel the same way, there's got to be a lot of other people out there that feel the same way too. I mean,
I think most people do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just strange. It's weird. But so look, we got to end the show. I'm starting the music. But before we completely end the show, OK, I'm going to push the buttons and get it going. As I'm getting it going here, Matt, you asked for me on text message during the reception. You asked me, could you please get me a souvenir?
I did. Yep.
And I have sent you a box already that you do have in front of you.
It's right here. Yep. Right okay. in front of me.
Okay.
All sealed up.
Would you go ahead right now as the show ends and open up the box and see what might be in there?
Finally.
Now, yesterday.
I've been staring at this thing for 24 hours.
You were asking me about it and I said, I hope it doesn't melt. We'll see.
I told you, I hope it's not alive.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is, technically. Sort of. Kind of.
All right. What?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay, let's see. Oh, the wedding. Oh, it's a program from the wedding. Is that what you call it?
Yep.
And then we got some blue ribbon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Must have been one of the wedding colors, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
and here's your, what is this? It's a little something with your name on it.
That was probably my seating arrangement at the reception. Mm-hmm. I was actually at an important table. Yeah.
There's a reception immediately following the ceremony at the whatever it's called club.
Mm-hmm. You'll also find the clam bake invitation there that tells you nothing about where Miss Quamica Beach Club is at. I believe that's in there.
There it is. Yep. Mm-hmm. I got it right here.
Yep.
This is what you sent me, a picture of that.
Yep.
There's pretty cool.
Did you get your straw? Is that in there?
There's a green and white straw. What is that?
It's just a straw that I grabbed for you. Yeah, and a coaster that's probably worth a nickel or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now we got something all wrapped up here in some plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite the packer.
I try.
Even bubble wrap. Mm-hmm. I love bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I probably know what this is.
Come on, Matt. The show's trying to end.
It is. Oh, it's the plant.
It's the green smokable plant.
It's the smokable plant.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. Is it still in good shape?
It is.
Good.
It's just like a giant wad of...
I don't know what it is.
Like green dandelions.
I don't know. I'm gonna upload a picture of that to the website for sure.
I'm probably allergic to this.
I hope not. Be careful, please. Please be careful. Did you find the crystal meth in there too? I sent you four pieces of crystal meth in there somewhere too.
I haven't made it to those yet.
Okay, they're in there somewhere. But right. Yeah, I mean, you wanted a souvenir, so I...
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I took it right off the table and took it right to the car. So.
Oh, matches.
Oh, yeah, I got some matches there, too. Yep, they have
the crystal meth.
The crystal meth is
with,
there,
with
too.
With matches, of course.
Yep. There you go, man. There you go.
I'm touched. Thank you.
You are welcome. It's the best I could do. I really couldn't think of anything else. So, there
this
you
is
go.
Better.
I'm glad you like it. Without further ado, we must close.
It stinks, man.
I know, it does stink. Be careful. don't break out in hives, man.
I need to wash my hands and not touch my face.
We got to end the show. Magic Matt, do you even have time for your... triple threat of whatever, or do we?
I got three things real quick.
Quick, go, quick.
Brad got into character at the fancy wedding by yelling at the help.
Yes.
Brad's boss invited him to the wedding and then tried to ditch him. Yeah. And number three, Brad is transforming into an old man before our very eyes.
Nice job, as always. It's true. Brad and Magic Matt saying thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night.